I'm Anna Sale in for Brian Lehr. Now, a conversation about dating. Dating and breaking up. What gets said and what remains unsaid. In her debut novel, The Love Affairs of Nathaniel P., Adele Waldman fills in a lot of the missing dialogue from a male perspective. Her protagonist, Nathaniel P., lives in contemporary Brooklyn. He goes to parties and book readings with the early 30s literary set, and we meet him just as he's transitioning from struggling freelance book reviewer to an author with an impressive book deal. But his success is new enough that he still wears a Harvard t-shirt peeking out from behind his button-down on a date. So if that tells you anything, Nathaniel P. makes some mistakes with women. Hurtful mistakes when in his head he's mostly just trying to avoid making a woman cry. Adele Waldman joins us now. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course. Now, this is a story about dating in New York among a certain sector of the population. And what you write about, I think, is really interesting is the convergence of losing the script of 21st century heterosexual sexual relations, that a lot of the roles are rapidly shifting at a time when communication etiquette is also completely unclear, because now we're not just communicating face-to-face and by phone, but also with text and email. So tell us a little bit about what you were after here with this novel and exploring that.
Right. Well, I think you're right. I think we live in a time where the etiquette around dating is maybe less clear than it used to be. Not to say that dating was ever easy. I think that that just dating and contemporary relationships are really challenging for a lot of people, both men and women. And I didn't see it addressed very well in our fiction in a serious way. I wanted to really explore the emotional consequences of something that I think we tend to treat trivially as if it's just, you know, the stuff of romantic comedies. But I think the stakes are pretty high.
And you're in your mid-30s, living in Brooklyn, lived in New York for most of your adult life. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the decision to tell the story from a male perspective.
Well, it's interesting that it happened almost by accident, but it turned out to be, I think, a great decision for me as a woman, as odd as it is, that when I first had the idea to write about relationships from a male perspective, it was because, in a way, I wanted to respond to books written by men about male protagonists that I felt tended to be soft on how the protagonists treated women. And I had this idea that, oh, what if I wrote such a book and I used all the years I've spent analyzing my bad boyfriends and my friends' bad boyfriends and endless conversations, what if I used all that insight developed and put it, sort of used it to write such a character? And for some reason, that surprised me a little bit, that turned out to be a way that allowed me to write not only about that male character, but I hope about women's experience of dating, that I feel like there's a lot, I relate very much to probably every woman in the book, in many ways more so than my male protagonist, who I'm a bit fond of, I must say, but.
Listeners, we want to also hear your breakup stories, the awkwardness of breaking up with someone, the hurt of having someone you're dating disappear in digital communication, unintended slights, navigating all of this. Give us a call and tell your story, 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. Remember, here on The Brian Lehr Show, we only use your first name, and Adele Waldman's novel has given you a little more permission to be honest. 212-433-9692. 212-433-WNYC. Adele, I was listening back to a podcast that you just did, the Other People podcast, and that idea of by you sort of writing down the internal thoughts of a guy as he's making decisions to cancel a date at the last second with an email and blame work commitments, or not knowing at all how to get out of a relationship that he wants to get out of. In this podcast, the host, Brad Listy, he confided in you that he once broke up with a woman trying not to hurt her feelings and ended up patting her on the head because he was just trying to contain the hurt. Have you found that as people are responding to your book, that you're hearing some of these stories that otherwise have just gone kind of, that people are so ashamed at their awkwardness that they haven't really told?
Right. I think absolutely. And that makes me really happy because, as I said, I feel that the stakes in dating or relationships can be really high, but I think that we're often a bit embarrassed about them. And being on both sides, I think it's hard to be the one broken up with, but it's also hard to do the breaking up. It's, as you said, it's unclear in this this moment in time, how we should handle these things. And I think oftentimes they get mishandled not because a person wants to be cruel, but because we don't really know what to do. And so my protagonist, Snape, for example, he makes a lot of mistakes that are hurtful. And I wanted to explore in the book that he's not trying to be cruel. Nonetheless, it doesn't mean people don't get hurt. And I think that's one of the challenges today.
I think it's so interesting the way you narrate what's going on inside his head, because you say he's telling himself that he's just trying to avoid hurting her feelings, but he also describes the contempt that he feels when women he's dating display some kind of attachment or vulnerability.
Right. I think that they're both things can be true simultaneously, and to me that's interesting that someone could be not intentionally cruel, sort of wants to be a nice enough guy, but also have a lot of rather troubling feelings that some critical thoughts about women in general and women in particular he's dating, and the reaction to intimacy at moments that was a little bit troubling to me as a woman. I felt that oftentimes when I was narrating Nate's thoughts, I took some of the things that I most feared when I was dating, that a man might have been thinking about me, and I made him actually think that about the women. And that was scary to me, honestly, but I felt like it was important if the book was going to be realistic and explore the character fully and make him neither overly idealized in a good way, but nor overly villainous.
We're getting some breakup calls to hear some stories. Lenore in Brooklyn, what's your best breakup story?
This was a very male way of breaking up. I had been dating somebody. We'd only gone out a couple of times. I had gone to Manhattan from Brooklyn to see him at his place, and he decided he would much rather be in Brooklyn. He wanted good Chinese food, blah-de-blah. Okay, we'll go back to my house. We're on the subway. He's standing next to the door. I'm sitting on the corner seat, and he starts this very odd speech, a couple of sentences long, about how he can't be who I need him to be, and, he'd like to. I'm a very nice person, but he can't. And I'm quite puzzled, because we're just at the beginning. The subway stops. The door opens. He steps off. The door is closed. That's it. I'm on my way back to Brooklyn.
That's amazing.
Most tidy breakup.
That's amazing, but at least he told you something. He didn't just disappear.
This is true. It was essentially like disappearing, because it had no connection to us. I wasn't at the point of having expectations, but it was pretty funny, and it's amused me since. It seemed like a very male way to handle things.
Right. And I think it gets at something very interesting, the idea of we're not even clear today when you actually need to break up with someone, whether you need, if you've gone on a few dates, does that require a phone call, an in-person conversation? Or would that be presumptuous because maybe the other person isn't any more interested in you than you are in them? And I think there's just such a minefield of ways to mess this up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for your call, Lenore. Matt in Inwood, what's your breakup story?
So I was actually on vacation in Vietnam when my girlfriend of 3.5 years broke up with me, which is pretty jarring. Mm-hmm. We were in the Mekong Delta. And then, I didn't see it coming at all. We had been together for 3.5 years and had moved in together just 3 months before that. And so it came bit of a shock.
And you were still traveling together?
Well, yeah, we were on vacation and almost done with a 2-week trip, and that's when it happened.
Oh, that plane ride home must have been
Well, that's awkward. What was so interesting. We had a 15-hour ride from Hong Kong back to New York sitting next to each other. But what was interesting, I think, was that I was in complete denial. I remember I was sort of blithely watching movies and just enjoying the hell out of them, and my partner was sitting next to me so broken up. I was just in this kind of other world watching my movies and I guess still in shock about what had happened. And then for me, the emotional turmoil really happened when we got back to New York.
Right. And I think these things do take time to process.
Thanks so much for your call, Matt. Adele, I want to ask you about the different reactions you've heard from male and female readers to your book. Because I know you were describing earlier how one of the things that you, as you were narrating Nate's thoughts, that you wanted to have him think the things that you had always been most afraid that someone was thinking about you. And I have to say, as a woman, I was horrified by some of his thoughts as he's like, noticing the pores on a woman's nose or the way that her cut arms just jiggle just a little just so when she raises her arms. It was uncomfortable to read as a woman. Are you hearing very different reactions from women and male readers?
Yes and no. I've been really heartened, I have to say, by the response from male readers in general, in that I think when you are a woman and you're writing about relationships, I feel like there's a fear that with men not read the book at all because they would have ideas of it being a book for women. And I didn't want that. I wanted to write something that was for men and women. So, I've been very heartened by that. But yes, I think there's a difference. I think when men read the book, they feel uncomfortable because they see some of themselves in Nate, and they're not proud of that. They recognize some of their own thoughts about women that they're a bit ashamed of. And I've gotten a lot of men who react by saying they've winced or cringed in recognition. And then when women read the book, they're uncomfortable more for the reasons that you described and that I felt as a woman writing the book, that we're uncomfortable because we don't like the thought that men might be like Nate. And to be fair, I don't think Nate is a terrible person in every way. I also wanted Nate to embody, I think, some really extreme tendencies on the part of men. I do think, and maybe this is wishful thinking, that Nate is a bit crueler in his thoughts than I hope that many men are.
And you also capture, though, that even as he, you know, by the end of the book, you know, he you don't necessarily, you're not cheering Nate on, but you do get a sense that he's ambivalent about how he is supposed to treat women. You write at the very start of the book that he knew that that he was not the kind of guy who disappeared after sleeping with a woman. You go on, he was a product of post-feminist 1980s childhood and politically correct 1990s college education. He had learned all about male privilege. And then he goes on to say, but consider what it was like for him. And it's this idea that there's a lot that he can't actually voice because he's supposed to respect where women are coming from.
Right. And I felt that as a woman writing from Nate's perspective, I thought there were certain things that I could write as a woman that I don't know that a male novelist would have felt as comfortable writing, because there's certain thoughts Nate has that are sort of outright sexist.
Totally misogynist,
women.
Yeah.
Right. And the reason for me to do that was that I think that not all men, but some young men might think this way, but nobody's going to admit to that in our culture because they'd be pilloried in response. But I thought it was worth airing those thoughts, and I felt that I could, because as a woman, no one was going to think it was me who was saying them. So I think that is important, that there might be another side to the story that I'm not sure that men are feeling comfortable voicing. And sometimes there's good reasons why they're not comfortable.
We're taking your calls of breakups and dating in 21st century America. Rich in Bloomfield, New Jersey, how would you describe dating these days?
Difficult.
I see you say that the culture of dating has changed. What do you mean?
Well, I believe that women are now dating for different purposes than they have dated in the past, and that women are more powerful than ever. Like, you find a lot of women in positions that they're actually making more money than a lot of men. And what happens, I believe, is that it escalates expectations. So I saw a small auto repair business in Bloomfield, and you know, it gets me dirty. You know, it's not a suit and tie job. However, I don't think that I'm a bumbling idiot. I can date a lot of women, but ultimately, I really believe that they're all going to leave, because my past experience has shown that. So, and I don't know if it's because I'm, you know, ultimately I get into this relationship and then I'm sort of maybe I don't pay enough attention to her, or I become a little brash, maybe. But that's just me kind of settling in, mm-hmm. so I can just be myself. And so over the years, I've just learned to just become myself faster, and it still hasn't helped. I really don't know if there's any way to figure out why any woman will stay or go in particular. It's just more and more confusing the more I think about it. And, you know, as I've recorded previously to the talk of you, is that I'm just guarded with the whole thing. Like, I really go into it expecting that it will not last.
I think that you get at something that, to me, I think is really important, that it's that dating is hard for both men and women, and that, you know, I certainly don't want, I am a woman, and certainly I can relate to the feelings I had and my women friends have had while dating, but I also have male friends, and I also think that you're bringing up an important point, that it's hard for everyone, and that we shouldn't, that men aren't always the bad guys, and women certainly aren't always the good guys, and I think that the key thing is that dating is really hard until you meet the right person, and then it gets a lot easier, so I hope that happens for you sometime soon.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, me too.
Thanks for having
me on the show.
Thanks for your call, Rich. Adele, Rich mentioned the idea of women's expectations changing as the workforce has changed and as women's earning power has changed. And you write about it from a slightly different angle, from Nate kind of looking around at his peers and all of a sudden realizing that the women's expectations when they were 25 for dating are completely different when they're 30. How does Nate narrate that?
Right. Well, I think that he felt in his 20s, he was often the one who was more interested in women than women were in him generally. And as he's gotten older and the women he's interested in have gotten a little bit older, I think what he's finding is that not only is he a little bit more desirable because his professional status has risen, he went from being a poor freelancer working as a temp to pay his rent to a guy who's got a book deal and just has a little more status in the world. But at the same time, the women he's dating are getting older. Maybe they're thinking more about marriage and children than they were when they were in their 20s, and they were thinking about grad school, about when their lives were just unfolding and they were trying to explore possibilities. And I think something happened that might happen slightly differently for men and women around the age of 30, that that because of factors no one can control, some of them biology, that perhaps more women than men start thinking in terms of marriage and children, and men still feel like they have more time before they need to get serious about that. And that, I think, can be troubling for both.
And for Nate, the idea that his stock has gone up right when women are asking him to settle down, he wants to work that a little bit.
Right. I think on the one hand, he does. On the other hand, he's very wary because he doesn't like to upset women. He feels bad when they're upset. I think he's sort of driven in two directions. On the one hand, he's enjoying his popularity. He meets women. He's attracted to them, and he wants to go with that. On the other hand, the consequences of that make him feel bad, and I think he sort of just goes back and forth all the time.
I want to ask you about the writing process as well. You wrote this novel over a course of 5 years from beginning to publishing, and during that time you got married, your life changed in terms of your relationship, and in your acknowledgments you thank your husband for his notes on your drafts. I wonder how the way that you wrote about relationships and commitment, how that shifted over those 5 years as you grew into your 30s.
I don't think I could have written this novel if I weren't happy in my relationship. So my husband and I were already dating when I started writing the novel. And I think the reason for that is because the novel did go places that were, for me, that were hard and dark. As I said, I explored some of my worst fears that I had while dating. And I wanted to write with a lot of sympathy for what people go through when they're dating, what I did as well. And I felt like it was easier for me psychologically to do that when I wasn't experiencing it myself at the time. It was hard enough to write about from the perspective of being in a happy relationship. I think it might have been too hard if I were also dealing with the same issues I was writing about. And also, my husband provided, he's a wonderful editor for one, just on the the level of language, but he was also just such a great sounding board to talk about Nate and what Nate might be thinking, and you know, that was just invaluable.
Yeah, I thought about, I was thinking about Jonathan Franzen while I was reading the book. I mean, I reading Freedom, his ability to get inside a woman's head was just remarkable to me. And for me, reading that in my early 30s, it was, you know, he's talking about middle-aged American marriage. And I have to say, reading the thoughts of a man who's my peer in your book, it made it even more uncomfortable than a Jonathan Franzen book, which is quite saying something.
I loved Freedom too, and I thought the same thing. I thought that Franzen did such a great job with Patty Berglund's mental state, and so to me, that is a great compliment. I can relate to the book making you uncomfortable. As writing it, it also at times made me uncomfortable, and I think I hope that's part of what I wanted, or I hope that means the book was successful in getting at things in a way that is non-idealized and that is real. And I hope there's something edifying in that it's not discomfort for discomfort's sake, but that one comes away with the sense that as a woman who, or both as a woman and as a man, that the book explores the kind of relationship where the Nate starts out very interested in the woman he's dating, and then at a certain point he just pulls away for no apparent reason. And I think that's something that when it happens to you, when you're on the other side, it's very hurtful and confusing. And I hope the book also provides a sense to people who've been there that you're not alone. And these experiences are hard for all of us.
Well, Adele Waldman, congratulations on your debut novel, The Love Affairs of Nathaniel P. You'll be reading at McNally Jackson in Manhattan on August 19th. So head out and see her if you are interested. Adele Waldman, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks so much for having me, Anna.
Coming up, we'll talk more about writing with On the Writer's Room, the new Sundance Channel show about TV writers with Jim Rash. That's after the break. I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehrer.